let's take a deep dive into Scripture with Father John Wargle and Danny Gallagher. During each episode, we'll be sharing our insights about the Bible passages presented on a related post on Father John's website, ancienthopes.org. To find the post we're discussing, go to the ancienthopes.org website and search for the title of this podcast using the search box on that page. Our discussions on this show will follow the posts listed on the ancienthopes.org website. Here are your hosts for our deep dive into Scripture today, Danny and Father John. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another Deep Dive into Scripture podcast and radio show. I'm Danny Gallagher, and I'm in the studio with Father John Wargle. Welcome back, Father John. Great to see you.
Well, thank you.
We are amazingly, after a lot of posts and podcasts, we are finished pretty much with the stories of Jacob.
That's right. I mean, we completed it actually with the two great encounters, right? Before he left the land and when he came back and all the family chaos in between and everything. Right. Now we're starting a kind of like the longest sustained story of the Joseph story. But Jacob, of course, he's behind the whole thing. He's kind of like the ghost haunts the whole story from here on out.
In these 13 chapters, 37 to 50, the last chapters of Genesis, he is present in and out of the whole story the whole time. Yeah.
You can't get away from your father.
Yes.
Fathers are god-awful creatures. You know that. I know that.
Yes, it's true. They're scary, terrifying.
Right.
Okay, so let's get into it. So, Joseph.
Yeah. Let's look at 37, okay? Jacob dwelt in the land of his father's sojourning in the land of Canaan. And then there's this phrase. This is the history of the family of Jacob. Mm-hmm. Now, that word history, behind that in Hebrew is a Hebrew word toledot. It comes from the word yalad, which is give birth, okay?
Okay.
So it's kind of like the genealogy of it. However, the first time this is used is in Genesis 2:2, where it says, this is the history or the genealogy of creation.
Oh.
And so it's strange that that word would be used of generation with regard to
the days
of creation, right?
Yeah. Wow.
But it certainly does link Jacob and his little family story to this cosmic event of creation.
The big story, yeah.
And we all know that creation happened through a series, right? It starts with chaos.
Yeah.
Order.
To order, yeah.
To rest. And we've seen a whole lot of chaos in Jacob's family.
Jacob's
and we're going to see
a
whole lot more, okay? Things that could make your mind
hair stand on end.
That's right. Here, I like that better. Yeah, right. Because terrible things happen. There's evil in this family. Okay.
Right. Some of these guys. Some of these brothers.
I hate to say it, but the same thing is true of our families, too. Right?
Yes, right. Yeah. It is true that as I did read through this, and one of your questions, I think, on the post, on the bottom of the post on ancienthopes.org was something about, what do you see in your family?
Yeah. That's,
what dysfunction?
Yeah,
oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we will talk about that more as we go along in this podcast, right? So we have Joseph, and we know who Joseph is, right? He is the firstborn of Jacob's favorite wife, Rachel.
Yeah.
But he's really the fifth born.
Right, yeah, because Leah had the first four.
Right, and Reuben, by all rights, he has rights to this whole thing, right?
Yeah.
And so this is one of the fundamental motifs that weaves in and out of this whole Joseph story. Who really is the firstborn? Who's going to really emerge as the firstborn?
Right, because that's the one that's going to have the power.
That's right.
Yeah.
And in the end, we're all surprised.
Uh-huh.
We are all surprised, okay?
That it's Joseph?
Well, we would think it might be Joseph, right?
Yeah, right.
But it really doesn't come down to that, you know? So there's surprises throughout this whole thing. Okay, he's 17 years old. I think we talked a little bit about this in a previous podcast, but I think repetition's not a bad thing,
yeah,
right?
Sure.
Yeah. Okay, so he was a lad with the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought in an ill report of them to his father.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So he's this young guy, right? I mean, he's not the youngest because his brother Benjamin is the youngest,
he's
probably just at this point, just a little toddler, right? So, you know, he's the youngest. He's the father's favorite. And he's ratting on his brothers.
Right.
I mean, this is just classic, isn't it? I mean, this happens in families all the time. Did you have a sibling that would rat on you?
Every bad thing I ever did. Yes.
What family of any size, okay, doesn't experience this whole thing, right?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, okay. So, and of course, birth order is one of the things I want to talk to God about sometime, because there's always this firstborn thing, right? Mm-hmm. And you got this, and I am the youngest born in my family, and I was spoiled. I really was. And I didn't realize I was spoiled until I was in the mid-30s. And then I was talking to my sisters, and I said, man, I'm spoiled. Yeah. And they said, yeah. They knew this for decades.
That's
right?
Funny, because I'm the firstborn boy my family of seven kids.
Yeah.
And my sister was older, of course.
Yeah.
And she always was the one that everybody said, oh, the favorite, God Almighty is walking through the house, you know.
Right, right. So this whole thing, I'm going to have to talk to God about this someday when I have a chance.
Yeah, right.
Because it really sets, in some ways, this really, really sets the mind in a certain way, you know.
Sure.
And if you're a middle born, you're dead meat.
Yeah.
Okay, because often they're the glue that holds the family together, but they're always the ones that are just screaming, look at me, look at me.
Yeah, and no one does.
I'm invisible.
That was kind of interesting with us, because our middle kids, so it was Caitlin, Bridie, and then the twins were born, Claire and Colleen. Colleen's the middle, and then we had two boys and another girl. So the fact that it was the twins was gigantic.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, they got all the attention.
Right.
So it was really different.
And they were bonded in a special way that the rest of the kids weren't, right?
That's correct. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's all so interesting. I think, you know, again, I still think that God is, you know, this whole Ayla Toledot, this is the history of the world and all that stuff. This is God's Netflix. Okay?
Yes. Oh, yeah. That's a great
really
way to look at it.
He's really into drama, isn't he?
Oh, boy. That's for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So anyways, here we go. Now, Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other children. That's called favoritism. Okay, that's not a good thing.
Yeah, okay. Not for the others.
Now, it's true that some kids are more lovable than others, but, you know, to show favoritism and to vaunt it is not a good recipe for family peace.
That's true.
But, you know, I think a lot of people have experienced this sort of thing in their families all the time, you know?
Or they feel like they do.
Or
you know
what
I mean?
They feel like they do, right. Yeah, yeah. So, now Israel loves Joseph more than any other of his children because he was the son of his old age, but we know it's more than that because he reminds him of Rachel, his favorite wife. Okay, and he made a long robe with sleeves. We talk about this. In Hebrew, it's Ketonet Pasim. Okay, it's a ketonet, whatever it is. We don't know what it is. But I really go with the scholarship here that would tend to agree that this was a priestly garment.
Okay.
Because everything about primogeniture, the firstborn, the priest of the family, right? Yeah. And so it wasn't just a robe with long sleeves. I mean, you know what I mean? We're talking about something that's woven.
Right.
With precious threads of precious metals and maybe even gems and stuff like that, right? Yeah.
Well, they call it the Technicolor Dreamcoat.
That's right, yeah. I think we did talk about
this in
a previous a post, right?
Just a little bit.
So it was certainly a status thing, okay? and perhaps even a positional thing. And not only that, but we see that he has dreams, okay? Mm-hmm. And there must have been something about his personality that he simply had a connection with God.
Mm-hmm. Well, it seems that way, and it seems like other people knew it.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know,
Jacob certainly did.
I've experienced spiritual envy in my life of people that I thought, well, they were godly. You know what I mean?
Right,
you
sure.
just feel it. There's a certain holiness in them that you feel, and that can create envy in us.
Sure. Wish I had that.
That's yeah. right.
Right.
Yeah. I just go back to my childhood. I remember this boy in our church who was this godly guy. He grew up to be a missionary. I mean, there was just something holy about him, and I remember feeling envy in my, mm-hmm. you know, as a kid,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So this is a problem, okay? The brothers see this whole thing, and they just hate him.
Right, yeah. Every right. time he wears that coat, they must be just, you know, shaking their heads and rolling their eyes.
And one of the things I can't understand, which I think I mentioned in a previous quote, you know, why he's wearing this thing around. His father sends him to his brothers, right? He's walking through the countryside with his coat, which is like a big sign saying, hey, steal my coat.
Kill me.
yeah. But he was wearing it, probably wore it a lot of times, you know? So now he had a dream. Now, he's a dreamer, okay? Mm-hmm. In our life, world, we don't really focus too much on dreams. I mean, since Freud and Jung, we've been paying more attention to dreams, okay,
mm-hmm, yep.
in our culture, but not like it was in the Old Testament, yeah. okay? And in the Bible, dreams are revelatory.
Sure, and anybody who could interpret a dream.
Exactly.
Everybody knew they had a connection to God.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. So from the Old Testament all through the New Testament, dreams are modes of revelation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what did he have? He said to him, hear this dream, which I have dreamed. Now, of course, you know, he's got this dream and he's telling them this dream. Okay. And it wasn't hard for them to interpret this one either.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
I
behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and behold, my sheaf rose up and stood upright. Okay.
Yeah.
And behold, your sheaves gathered around and bowed down to me. Okay.
Pretty amazing. He's lucky he didn't die right there.
Right.
You're listening to the Deep Dive into Scripture radio show and podcast with your hosts, Danny Gallagher and Father John Wargle. The text that we're discussing can be found on the AncientHopes.org website. Then use the search box to find the post with the same title as this podcast. Let's get back to our show with Danny and Father John.
Okay. And it wasn't hard for them to interpret this one either.
Yeah, right.
Okay. And behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and behold, my sheaf rose up and stood upright. Okay.
Yeah.
And behold, your sheaves gathered around and bowed down to me. Okay.
Pretty amazing. He's lucky he didn't die right there.
Right. And his brothers, you know, obviously, are you indeed to reign over us, or are you indeed to have dominion over us? So they hated him even more for the dream.
Yeah.
Then he dreams another. Yeah, I mean, this guy is just not too bright.
Just okay. Can't.
But this is called spiritual pride. And that, yeah. of all pride, is really the worst.
Yeah, he just can't keep his mouth shut.
Yeah, because when you really do have an authentic connection with God, when you're having these encounters, and that's what these dreams are, encounters.
Sure. Yeah.
They do something to your head.
Mm-hmm.
You just can't help but think that you're just,
I'm amazing.
Yeah. yeah. I mean, you know, and I might have mentioned this before. I mean, I was you know, privileged to have encounters, you know, with God in throughout my college days, you know. I was just so enthralled with God and his promises, because whenever there's encounters, there's always promises.
Mm-hmm.
That I would, this is in Minnesota. I mean, I would, even in the thick of the winter there, when the lake around was frozen, and I mean, it get cold up there,
oh, yeah.
right? On Friday nights when everybody's in a warm place, you know, partying down, I'd be out there reciting psalms to God, you know? Mm. And when I came back, you know, I couldn't help but feel like I was Moses coming down from the mount.
Oh, man.
Right.
I've got it, everyone.
I thought to myself, who my age has such great, wonderful things happening to him, you know?
And
in reality, I'm just one little dot in God's big, giant plan, you know,
yep,
right
sure.
there. But you, you can't get that when, you know, when you're in this whole thing. So anyway, so it's about the stars. Okay. It's a cosmic dream, right? The sun and the moon, which would be his father and mother.
Yeah.
And 11 stars were bowing down to me. But when he told it to his father and his brothers, his father rebuked him and said to him, "What is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall I and your mother and your brothers indeed come to bow yourselves down to the ground before you?" Now it says that the brothers were jealous, but what did the father do? He kept it.
Yeah, he remembers.
His head, he remembers. He knows something's very special about Joseph, right?
Yeah, it probably makes him treat Joseph even more like a favorite because he's got this, now he knows this connection is there between Joseph and God.
Yeah, he's got it. He's got personality. He's got charm. He's got all these things, you know. So what we have here is the brothers who've actually, their hatred is whipped up to the point of fratricide.
Yeah,
they want to kill his brother. And so we see all sorts of dynamics going on here as they're trying to figure out what to do with him. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
As I think I said before, it was certainly Simeon and Levi, the second and third of Leah's kids, that wanted just, let's just kill him.
Yeah. They were the nasty ones.
Right. And Reuben, who was the firstborn and who really knew that he was in charge of this whole thing, he didn't want this disaster to happen.
Right. He's trying to hold it together because he knows he's got some responsibilities.
He's responsible.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's always trying to exert his right as firstborn.
Yeah.
Isn't this family dynamics? Isn't this so, this is so perfect, isn't it? I mean,
it is. It's funny because we keep on saying, you know, he's every man, or, you know, these guys are every man and every woman.
Yeah,
and
right.
Boy, this is every family. That, that is for sure.
Yeah, this is called family systems theory. We're in it really big now. Okay.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. So, anyways, so in the end, you know, Reuben would like to set him apart, you know, put him in. I think, to see if I got it right, they put him into a pit, right? And Reuben was thinking that, well, maybe I can swing by when guys aren't looking, pull him out, and, you know, save him, right?
Yeah, yeah. He's going to come back, yeah.
But it's interesting that Judah comes up with, he's the fourth born.
Mm-hmm.
He comes up with the idea, and, you know, we're going to see exactly how unsavory Judah is. In the next chapter.
Right.
Okay. He comes with, why kill him? Why, we can make money on this.
Right. What a deal. And I think he's thinking we can have the best of both things.
That's right.
Kind of, you know, he stays alive.
Right.
So he's not dead and he's out of our lives.
He's out of our lives.
And we can convince Dad that he's dead and gone. You
That's
know, without
right.
without it coming back on us.
Yeah, right. So he comes off as pretty clever. And so the brothers see this and say, hey, man, okay, Judah.
You're brilliant.
So they follow Judah's advice. Okay. Yeah. So that shows you that Judah has a certain power in the family.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So they're sitting down eating, having a meal. That's important because eating and having meals is going to pop up in the Joseph story.
Mm. Okay. Oh, yeah.
And then and selling for silver. Silver is a big deal in this story. Every little detail, every little motif really crops up here. So the Ishmaelites, they are related to Abraham, but have been separated from Abraham, and Ishmaelites were really considered to be enemies of Israel.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Okay. They're kind of like a roving desert kind of group, okay, the Ishmaelites. And they're coming with camels. You know, you can see a typical, what do you call those?
Caravan.
That's the word I want, right?
Yeah.
And they sell them, and they then take them to the Midianites, who are, you know, another desert group, you know, that was close to Egypt, and somehow he gets sold to Egypt, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Reuben returns where he was. We don't know, but, you know, he sees what happens, and he said,
well, he looks in the pit, right? And Joseph is gone, and he's trying
gone.
To figure out what happened. Oh, no, what'd you do with
exactly
him?
Exactly it. So he knows that, you know, he's in trouble in his father's eyes. He's lessened in his father's eyes, right? And so they do this ploy. They kill this animal, put blood on it. on the robe, and then they bring it to his father, right? And the word recognize is another important word in this story. It keeps on cropping up.
Uh-huh.
Recognize, recognize, recognize. Because when we see things, we come to certain conclusions. But do we really see, right? We look at things, but do we really see them? I mean, that's a huge motif in all of life, right?
Right.
We got eyes, we see things all the time, or we look at things, but do we see into the essence of it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he doesn't. He sees that his son, he comes to the conclusion that the sons want him to come to. He's dead.
Right.
It's all done, right?
And but it's also interesting to me that the sons were kind of smart in this a little bit. They give the coat to somebody else to take it to Jacob so that Jacob, they're not actually even
and
there.
And they sent the long coat with its sleeves and brought it to their father. They sent.
Yeah. So it's
I didn't see that. That's good, Danny, because what does that tell you?
Well, it's interesting because the father then, he sort of makes the connection without them being there.
What's that called?
Oh, I don't know. Some kind of motif.
They were weenies, weren't they?
Yes.
Right. Yeah. They didn't have the courage.
That's right. And I also think, I'm wondering if maybe that would sort of help the father. Without them being there, it separated them from the story.
They didn't have to see his original grief.
Right.
The shame and the guilt of this whole thing.
And even maybe have that showing on their faces and have him maybe come to a different conclusion.
Yeah.
You know, recognize, wait a minute, what are these guys? They're all looking like guilty, you know?
Danny, but they weren't there. I've been looking at this for years. I didn't see that insight. That's a good one. Yeah.
Yay.
Right. No, that's good. So are the cowards.
Yeah.
They're liars. They're murderers.
They did that to their brother. Holy cow.
They're envious shells. Every vice you can imagine is in this family. Now, we might look at this and say, well, these things in our family are aberrations or things that are chaotic that no good can come out of it.
Yeah. Yes.
And we have this in our minds, ideal family. Haven't you seen Danny? Families here at the church, all the kids seem to be well dressed and all well behaved, sitting like, you know, little cherubs down.
Yeah, like my kids. People used to say that about us. I loved watching you come in and all sit down together on the road.
Yeah, that's right. And then you think of your family and all the chaos going on. First, the two things about that. Number one, their family is full of chaos too.
Sure. Okay. Right. Yeah.
But also, number two, God works through the pain and suffering, the sin, the vice, the rebellion, all this stuff he's working through to bring out of chaos and bring order to it.
Yeah.
And in the end, rest. Okay.
Yeah.
So what we see here is the beginnings of the chaos. It's kind of like formless void, okay?
Yep.
That we see in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. And that's how it's true with each one of us individually. As we're born, we are in darkness and chaos of original sin. We have baptism, then we work, you know, get to our place of confirmation. But then we are always growing through the sacraments of the church. We're always growing through our prayer life and in communion with one another as we lock arms together to glory, you know, and all this motivated by the Holy Spirit bringing us to Jesus. Okay. Yeah.
And it's a great thing to remember. This is just another one of the times when God is going to do this, bring incredibly great things out of something that seems horrible. It happens to us all the time. You know, people die in car accidents and we know that.
Right.
Sort of all good things are going to come out of this, but it's so hard to see. And just like in this story with Joseph, this is impossible to see right now that anything good is going to come from
it. I mean, who doesn't have impossible situations in their family?
Right, exactly.
I do.
Yeah, sure.
Okay?
Yeah.
And I have to keep on reminding myself that God is the God of the impossible.
Yep.
And all of us have to keep that in mind. And this story really brings that out.
Yeah.
Because it gets so dark. It gets really dark for the family. It really gets dark for Joseph, you know?
Yeah.
But it's all God's plan, you know?
Yes.
You know? So that's the beauty of this whole thing. So, you know, St. Ambrose, he comes up with something here that's really, because we're going to really work as we go along of all the allegory that's here and typology. And Joseph in his dream, you know, Ambrose sees him as a type of Christ who raises up in his humanity and in the family, she's bowed down to him,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's an interesting connection. It helps us see Jesus in the very DNA and the very fabric of these stories.
Yeah, these beginning stories. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Gosh, we're at the beginning of Joseph.
This is going to be fun. I can't wait to get to Judah next week.
Okay. Great.
But that's pretty, you know, it is what it is.
Okay. That's right. We'll hear about it. Okay. Thanks so much for coming in.
God bless. Bye.
See you next time on Deep Dive into Scripture. Thanks for listening. Please go to AncientHopes.org and the Books of the Bible links on that page for related posts from Father John. You can find more episodes of this show on the WSJF podcast server or on the Apple and Spotify podcast services. See you next time when we take another deep dive into Scripture. Don't forget this week to open that Bible and dive right in.